second class of miracle is called intellectual miracle, where the mind is enlightened by God without human education. Like a captain of Siena, like a Saint Therese of Lisieux, a doctor of the Universal Church, who never even went to secondary education. The mystical graces, the insights of a Teresa of Avila. Where the mind knows and understands what is behind the capacity of the human mind to learn by itself. What is the highest miracle? We call it a moral miracle. Yet God enables the human will, to practice virtue, which is beyond the capacity of human nature. No matter how strong the will may be to put into practice. Over the years in teaching the theology of miracles, to all people, a lifetime fidelity to our consecrated vows is a moral miracle. Do you hear me? I've been a religion myself for too many years. I know how strong my own will is. It isn't. I've dealt with too many religions. I know thousands. And how we need to hear this if we are even going to persevere in our consecrated life. Not to say be effective channels of God's grace to everyone who we put into our lives for this main purpose, to communicate, conduct from Christ to us, to others, the grace that Christ wants to give them. We better be living holy lives. Almost every sentence that I say, I think of myself, should I go on to explain? But this is a retreat. God could, being God, He could, better He can, give whatever graces He wants to whomever He chooses. He is God. But in His ordinary providence, God does not act that way. God uses human beings as the means, the communicators, the channels of the grace that He wants to give others. And before we close this meditation, sisters, let me be very clear. We received a vocation to be sent by Christ to be grace to others. Bring God's loving grace, life of the mind, strength of the will, as grace. Who, sisters, who are to be the principal objects of our apostolic zeal. For whom? For whom do we first become religious? Whom are we to be communicators, conduits of God's grace? For whom? For our own fellow religious. Do you hear me? Our principal apostate is right at home in the community. I cannot tell you how many religious over the years I've spoken to, how many have shed tears, how many told me they were in agony. Is this the community I joined? Is this the Institute of Consecrated Life that I embraced? My God, they tell me, I expected my fellow villagers to be an inspiration for me. And they tell me what's going on. I wouldn't be honest with you. I did not lay the cards on the table. When Christ called the apostles to evangelize and sanctify, the first and primary persons who needed to be, well, sanctified were the apostles themselves. I hesitate saying this, but I think I should. Why was there a Judas among the apostles? Because there have been Judases ever since. Do you still hear me? There have been traitors among bishops, traitors among priests, traitors among religious. Let me close with a story. Years ago, before my ordination, we would have our 8-day retreat preached, as I am doing now, to us. The priest who gave us our retreat that year knew so many important people in the world. He told us that when Stalin in Russia tried to force the farmers to grow wheat, corn, whatever, and then have the government. Well, take all their farm products and distribute as much as the government wanted, whoever they chose. The farmers went on strike. Stalin then ordered all the farmers for all their products to starve to death. We don't know how many farmers starved. A good estimate is 10 million Russian farmers starved to death, murdered by Stalin. During this famine, which Stalin initiated, the Pope, then Pope Pius XI, ordered a worldwide belief for that family. And chose a Jesuit priest from Washington to be in charge of the famine relief. When the famine abated, the priest was told by Pius XI to stop on his way back to America from Russia, to stop in Rome for a private conference with the Holy Father. The Jesuit priest, by name Father Walsh, stopped in Rome. Late one night, the Pope and the Jesuit had a private meeting. During the meeting, the Holy Father asked Father Walsh, "You have been the worst enemies of the Church over the centuries. Have been the Neros, the Attilas, the Stalins?" Father Walsh knew the Holy Father wanted to answer his own question. A long pause, Pope Pius XI said, "The worst enemies of the Church over the centuries have been our unfaithful bishops, priests, and religious." With his eye closed, "Sisters, pray and beg our Lord to keep you faithful to the vows you are taking, and to die, and I mean this, die rather than compromise. What you tell our Lord, you will do out of love for him, until he calls you into eternity. Amen." Apologies for the two extra minutes that I took of your time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.